That's a great verse, 1 Peter in chapter 2, that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter 2:21. Christ left us an example to follow in his steps. He suffered for you, and his suffering, his first steps, the very first step that he took, that we need to first learn before, you know, a lot of people are trying to follow Jesus' steps when he was 30 years old. If you say, how are we to follow Jesus? They say, oh, do miracles and I presume walk on the water and raise people who are dead for 4 days and all. People try to do things and bluff others about what they've done, etc. And deceive people. Those are not the steps we are to follow first. Let's take the first step. Let's learn the ABC before we go into postgraduate studies and all that. So let's think of the first step that Jesus took. And that was for God to become man. That was the first step. So how can we do that? That's what we need to learn before we go into other things about the way he fulfilled his ministry. Let me turn to Philippians 2 again, which we looked at last time. And it's so clear here. Philippians 2 verse 5 and 6. Have this attitude in yourself, which was in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped or held on to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. This is what people around the world are supposed to be celebrating today. But do you think they've understood anything about this? That's why I say a lot of the celebration of Christmas is so empty. If you want to understand what it means for Christ to be born on this earth, here's where you got to understand it. This is where he began. Have this attitude in yourselves. He says that example should be the one you follow. You must have the same mind. When? Just for a few moments? No. All through our life, we must have this attitude which is in Christ, which is what? He was God, and he came down and became a man, a slave. Now I've tried to understand, how does that apply to me? I'm not God. None of us are. So how can I follow him in this tremendous step that he took? So I look at it like this. God is the highest being in the universe. And here, if he became a man, that coming down is such a great descent that for me to follow that means I, as a human being, must descend until I become a nobody in my own eyes. Then I have followed him. Many of you celebrated Christmas for years, I want to ask you, have you become a nobody? Can you honestly say that your own opinion of yourself is you're a nobody? Never mind what other people think of you. A lot of people esteem Christ today. The world worships him. Even when he was on earth, people worshiped him. But in his own mind, he was just an ordinary man. He would always say, I'm a son of man. When they wanted to make him a king, he refused to be a king. He was Lord. We may have our gifts, we may have our talents, and we may have our abilities. We don't deny them. Jesus once said to his disciples, you know, he didn't have a sort of a low self-esteem, you know, which says, oh, well, I'm good for nothing. He never said that. He said in John chapter 13 and verse 13, he told his disciples in John 13:13, you call me Lord, and you are right. There's nothing wrong in saying that. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. I am. If you say to me, Brother Zach, you're an elder, I'm not going to say, no, I'm not an elder, I'm just a nobody. No, you're right, I'm an elder. God's given me that responsibility. If my children turn around and call me dad, I don't have to say, no, I'm not your dad, I'm just a nobody. That's artificial. That's stupidity. Jesus said, you call me Lord and teacher, that's what I am. But he had descended to the lowest level. So it's not a question of not recognizing who we are in relation to others, but the thoughts we think about ourselves. That's where we need to be nobodies. Because it's only then that God can use us. Through many years of knowing the Lord, I've come to this conclusion that God's great, the work that He seeks to do in all of us is reduce us down to zero, so that He can use us mightily. And the more He succeeds in reducing us to zero, the more mightily He can produce the life of Christ in us, so that we do not sin, so that we overcome sin, so that we manifest the glory and the grace of Christ, so that the devil's afraid of us. The devil's really afraid of those who have become nothing in their own eyes. He's not scared of people who think they're somebody. I'll tell you why. Because he became the devil by thinking he was somebody. You know, that's how he became the devil. The way Jesus went and the way Lucifer, the devil, went are two opposite directions. You see the contrast in Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah 14 is the opposite of Philippians 2. That's why I'm pointing it out to you. If you are not familiar with it, let's look at it. If you know it, look at it again, because you can always learn something more when you look at it another time. He's talking about the one who was the head of the angels. We don't know his name. In the Latin, they called it Lucifer, so it sort of become popular, but that's not his name. Isaiah 14:12. How have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? That's all God calls him. God doesn't tell us what his name was when he was up in heaven. It's not important for us to know. It was not Lucifer. Lucifer is just the Latin of star of the morning. You have been cut down to the earth. Why? Because you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. Jesus said, I will descend to earth. You see that? Jesus was there equal with God. He didn't hang on to that and said, I will go down to earth. Satan, who was before he was Satan, he was in the highest of the angels, and he said, I'm not satisfied with this high position as the head of the angels. I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne to the above the stars of God, and I will not only go to the heights of the clouds, verse 14, I will make myself like God. And the moment you think like that, the eternal law of God operates. It's an eternal law. God humbles the proud. As soon as he got this in his heart, he didn't, do something. He just said in his heart, I'll make myself like this. You'll be thrust down to Sheol. That's the first sin that was committed in the universe. Pride, lifting up oneself. God pushed him down. And I want to say to you, my brothers and sisters, every person who falls into any sin, there is only one reason: pride. Do you keep on falling into some sin? Face it, you are a proud, arrogant person. There is no other reason. And therefore, when you try to get victory over sin, God pushes you down, because this is an eternal law of God that began with this one who became the devil. I will humble those who are proud. And if God pushes you down, you're not going to get any victory. You're going to keep falling. Have you understood now why you keep falling into sin? Because God's not exalting you. He's not lifting you up. He He's pushing you down because it's his eternal law. Let me repeat it. God resists the proud. That's written twice in Scripture, James 4 and 1 Peter 5, verse 5.